In the stillness of this moment, there is peace. There is peace. In the stillness of this moment, there is peace. There is peace. And I rest and trust and breathe and know that in the stillness of this moment there is peace. In the stillness of this moment there is love. There is love. In the
Let me invite you to just take a moment and maybe allow your eyes to close or just softly focus and just allow yourself to rest, to trust, and to breathe. Resting, trusting, breathing. Just following the experience of breathing in and breathing out, knowing that you're seated, held by the chair, held by gravity. And maybe allowing yourself to also know that you are held by love and by peace. And in these moments of stillness and quiet, maybe noticing if there's anything sticky or resistant to love and peace. Can you meet that with love, peace, maybe curiosity? Maybe, just maybe, here in this moment, everything and everyone is welcome. And maybe, just maybe, peace is possible in this moment. Just as you are, just because you are. And then again, just returning to your breath, the breathing in, the breathing out, allowing your awareness and your attention back to the sounds, the smells, the feels of the room and beings around you. And as you're ready, gently opening your eyes.
In certain danger, caught in the crossfire of hope and regret, thought I could be my own savior, but I'm sinking, sinking fast, 'cause it's too much to handle alone in the battle. I'm desperate for you, Lord. faithful from the beginning. You felt my pain, you have been where I've been, and I hear you say, it is finished, it is written, we win in the end. Heart under fire, face in defeat, so close to surrender to my enemies, but love can
So today is March 22nd. In the Christian spiritual calendar, we're still in the season of Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the Sunday after that is Easter Sunday. And in just thinking about all of that, what's been just on my mind and what I've been experiencing in life is this thing called the way of peace, and the journey of peace, and the experience of peace. And when I heard that song, the lyric, when I am defenseless, you meet me there. And allow whatever concept of God, sacred, divine, fill your heart. You know, again, for many people, it's Jesus. For you, it might be science. For others, it might be nature. For others, it might be law, spirit, whatever. But this idea, it's when we're defenseless, love meets us. I told you that story of walking the trail this morning. Now, I mean, was I defenseless? No. I mean, I was lost. I mean, I was thinking, I got to get to church this morning. I don't want to be wandering around on this hill all day. But it was just so interesting. In the little experience of defenseless, you know, met a great person, met a little community. I mean, experienced connection. This is the Easter story. It's this idea of letting go and finding life in all of its different contexts. So today's message is going to open and close with a music video. I'm not trying to steal any of your thunder, Judith. I think I might be building my own prescriptive playlist here as I'm doing this. But yeah, you know, and I want to say this before I get into the message. I would just like to invite all of you, as you think about next Sunday and Easter Sunday, just be open to the idea, is there someone that you'd want to bring with you? You know? And just do that. You know, we talk about advertising and billboards and the internet and all that kind of stuff. The data says that 85 to 90% of people visit a church because someone invited them, not an ad. So again, if you don't, you know, that's cool. No, it's not no guilt or shame or anything like that. But think if, you know, you might want to bring somebody. I hope you do. Something else I was going to say about that, but I forgot, so I'm not going to worry about it. What's a coffee clutch? Is that what that announcement was, a coffee clutch? A what? Oh, a clatch. A coffee clatch. Okay. Yeah. while we're on the subject. So, yeah, next Sunday's Palm Sunday. The Sunday after that is Easter Sunday. It's also going to be Potluck Sunday. Some of you have asked, are we going to do Potluck Sunday? Because you're going out to brunch with people afterwards. And we can't do it the week after that because it's going to be the Discover Unity class as well as the Exploring Mystical Christ Circle. The Sunday after that is our Men's Circle. So this year, just the way all of that worked out is the way it worked out. And it's an interesting point. Again, you know, if you have plans Easter Sunday to go out to brunch with family and friends, do it. Do it. Live love and uplift lives away from there, you know, and that'll save more good food for me here at the potluck. Okay? All right, enough of that. The way of peace. So as we think about this experience of peace, I'd like to anchor it in truth. A truth. And it's this. The truth is we are already seen, loved, and chosen. Okay. In the Christian tradition, the word gospel has been used in that regard. And the word gospel simply means good news. It's good news. It's unfortunate that religion has kind of distorted and taken that good news off track and made it about certain beliefs about a person and this, that, and the other thing. But the whole message that Jesus and all other spiritual teachers, leaders, and systems come to bring is this idea that we are already seen, we are already loved, and we are already chosen. Can you just allow that to just take a breath, take that in, and just, yeah. So it just kind of begs the question, how is something so beautiful, so wonderful, I just get chills when I say it, so amazing, so difficult to live? Well, I hope this morning, as I just share some reflections on this, it may just give you some insight into your heart. And my intention here is that you can walk out of here with a greater sense of self-discovery, self-wisdom, and self-compassion. If you can leave here with just a little skosh more of that, our time here will be good. But let's anchor everything that we're doing here in the fact that we are already seen, already loved, already chosen. How many of you would say you've had a relationship in your life where you didn't feel seen? You didn't feel loved. You didn't feel chosen. Yeah? Yeah, it's true for me. But here's the hack. Okay. Every time you experience that, you can make it all about feeling like a victim. You can make it all about blaming the other person. You can make it all about finding a new someone in your life to see you, choose you, and love you. Or you can allow that longing to be a longing that brings you back to yourself and becoming your own best friend all over again. Yeah, sometimes it hurts. Oh, gosh, it hurts. Yes. But let our peace and our experience of peace not just be some ethereal, mystical, esoteric sort of feeling, but anchor it, and ground it in the truth and the reality that we are already seen, chosen, and loved. But here's the idea. When it comes to coming back to peace, we don't get there. We fall there. In the announcement for the service, if you get the emails or anything, there was an invitation to just watch a little video by Richard Rohr that I saw recently. You know, when he talks about, again, the spiritual path is not one of ascent. It's not one of gain. It's not one of accumulation. We fall into it. Life in its loving expression, allows us to have this experience of falling into love, or in this context, falling into peace. We discover it. At least it's true for me. When I make it my mission to go find peace, when I make it my aspiration to go find peace, when I make it my intention to go find peace, 9 times out of 10, it blows up in my face. It just does. And in those sacred moments when I'm not looking for it, it just surprises itself. Moving here to Coeur d'Alene has been beautiful surprise after surprise after surprise after surprise after surprise of experiencing love and experiencing peace in all of the unexpected places. Evelyn, is it okay? In finding a home and everything like that, my first place was in Evelyn's apartment at her home. And is that okay? Yeah, it just I can't tell you. I will take with me, you know, for the rest of my life, the feeling of not just a place to sleep and, you know, get dressed and clean up every morning, but the love, the warmth, the hospitality of that place in her home that helped me just find my home here in Coeur d'Alene. It's beautiful. Now, again, did I go looking for it? No, I found out about it through kind of a crazy networking of people, you know, who's told one friend, who told another, and voila, before you know it, you have it. And it's just a beautiful thing, okay? But again, we don't go out and get it. We fall there. We fall there. Maybe ask yourself, in what ways might I fall into peace again?
Surrender.
Surrender, yeah, absolutely. All right. Do y'all know what kind of flower that is? Anybody know? A lotus, yes. A lotus, okay. You know who said that? Thich Nhat Hanh. Yeah. Have you ever seen a lotus? Do lotuses grow around here? Do they? Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing them. But here's the idea. Look at that beautiful flower. Isn't it great? Don't we love it? I mean, you could just look at that flower all day. Do you know what's underneath that flower?
Mud.
Yeah. Mud. Dark. Cold. Smelly. Gushy. Mud.
What's between it and the mud? Water.
Yes. Yes. And what's in the water? Some kind of a vine connecting it, yes, to the nutrients. Absolutely. Fascinating. But what I want you to see is the alchemy of this beautiful flower coming out of sticky, gooey, awful mud. When we think of the lotus flower of peace, can we remember that the lotus flower of peace grows out of the sticky, gooey, smelly stuff of our life? And part of what I'm getting a little ahead of myself, so I'm going to save that. I just long for us here to be a community of people, I'll say it here and I'll say it again, who fiercely live love and uplift lives, so that we're not just about showing off our lotus flowers, although we can show them off and, you know, and do all that kind of stuff, but we can also be with each other in the trenches, like that first song said, in the trenches, where not just God goes there or whatever spiritual thing you go there is, but we are there in the trenches with each other, in the muck and the mire of life. My friends, I think our country is starving for that kind of community today. We are so polarized. We are so vigilant. We are so on guard, so suspiciously looking for just a threat, anything, anytime anybody says something or does something, our minds go into automatic defense mode, and we put up walls, and we start making assumptions about people. For the love of God, I hope we can stop that here and be a community that, yeah, and all the messiness and all the neurotic psychoses of our lives. And I am the chief neurotic psychosis person among you, okay? I am not standing up here on the platform telling you I'm some evolved person who's over all of it. I am just as messy and neurotic as you. And I can tell you, as time goes on, I'm going to continue to do things and say things and not do things and not say things that are going to really mess things up. And I just hope that the container of love that we have here can be an example, can be a fragrance, can be a vibration that other people are attracted to. Folks, that's what people are going to be attracted to. Our building, our grounds, our lights, our music. I mean, it's all as wonderful as all that stuff is, you know. I think people, when they walk in, they feel a vibration. They feel an energy. They feel a connection. They feel something's up with this group here. There's something different about them. They, like, are really serious about this love thing. When that's present, oh, my gosh. Wow. So I want to just unpack this a little bit. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the hero's journey. And as I walk through this hero's journey as a framework for a path to peace, I would like to invite you to think about your own personal life, but then to also think about the hero's journey that Unity Center for Spiritual Growth is on. Because I think this church is on its own hero's journey as well. And I don't know exactly where we are, and if I were to take a poll or something like that, some of you might find us, you know, in different places. But just for these next few moments as I walk through this, you know, think about your life, and then if you can, hold in the other hand the life and the community of this church, okay? The first thing that happens is a departure. A departure. We're going along, we're living life, we're doing our own thing, and then something happens. There's a call. It could be a voice, it could be an event. Could be, you know, just something that happens, but our attention to stop, and we're invited to set out to leave our ordinary life. Now, and the experience of this is why I just love what I do as a minister, because watching people's call get worked out in their own life is amazing, because it's not rainbows and butterflies and dancing bears and clowns on unicycles. There's this internal turmoil that goes on. When you're called by Spirit, two things happen. There's a sense of discomfort for where you are. And there's a sense of longing and yearning for something that is not yet. And it's a mystery, because you know something isn't right now, but you're not exactly sure what it's going to. That's why I love what Michael Beckwith says. Pain pushes and vision pulls. And so when this divine call comes upon you, you experience this alchemy of that, okay? And you can go back and forth. Yeah, I like it. No, I don't want it. Yeah, I don't like it. No, I don't want it, okay? But you can also find mentors in your life. And at some point, if you heed this call, you step over a threshold of sorts. You step over a threshold. I want to read this poem to you that I thought was so good. It's called Prospective Immigrants, Please Note. Prospective immigrants, please note. Yeah, this is good. Prospective immigrants, please note. Either you will go through this door or you will not go through. If you go through, there is always the risk of remembering your name. Things look at you doubly, and you must look back and let them happen. If you do not go through, it is possible to live worthily, to maintain your attitudes, to hold your position, to die bravely, but much will blind you, much will evade you. At what cost? Who knows? The door itself makes no promises. It is only a door. When I heard that poem, the line that grabbed me is the risk. And did you catch it in the poem? The risk of following the call is the risk of remembering your name. How many of you, your default orientation is, I forget who I am, I forget who I am, I forget who I am, forget who I am. The hero's journey, the risk is remembering who you truly are. And my offering to you today is that that experience of remembering who you are, of coming back to you who you are, can be incredibly painful. Why? What will happen? The walls that you've unconsciously put around your heart, and I'll include myself in this, the walls I've unconsciously put around my heart, the masks I've put on my face unconsciously will start to fall away. That's what happens in the second phase of the hero's journey, which is initiation. In many spiritual traditions, that initiation is marked by a period of time in the desert. That's what we're in right now in the Christian season of Lent, going out to the desert, leaving behind all of the familiarity, all of the trappings, all of the relationships, all of the rituals, all of the familiar into this place of the unknown. And it's a time of initiation where there's testing, okay? Not testing of Santa Claus, making a list and checking this twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. You know what the test is? The test is going back. So I love about the story, or the myth, whatever you want to call it, of the Hebrew people leaving Israel. They had, leaving Egypt. They had been in slavery for hundreds of years. Moses comes along and says, God is setting you free. The people are like, yes! Well, not all of them. Some of them doubted this. And so where does Moses lead him? Into the promised land of the desert. Like, wait a minute. I thought we were going to Hawaii. I thought we were going to Palm Beach. I thought we were going to Costa Rica. Name your place. The desert? Yeah. And what happened in the desert? These people were like, hey, this sucks. Let's go back to Egypt. Sure, we were in slavery, but at least we had 3 square meals a day and a roof over our heads. Now, we laugh, but how many of you, especially in this one, when spirit pulls you out in a new territory, oh, I want to go back. I want to go back. Folks, I love this church, but I have to tell you, 1980s unity, 1990s unity, 2000 unity, even 2010 unity is gone. It could be some of that muck in the bottom of the thing, okay? And there's a new lotus flower that's wanting to go. But if you want to just stay down in the muck, that flower's never going to grow. Some of you, you know, life in the good old days, life in the way it was. Oh, yes, part of what I love about living here is it reminds me of my childhood, growing up in Greendale, Wisconsin, you know, just a small little village, great people, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I love it. It's great. I open and receive it. But I'm going to be 60 years old this year. And I'm no longer living in Greendale, I'm living in North Idaho. And if I want to become that beautiful lotus flower of peace and love, I'm going to go through a period of testing. I'm going to go through a period of initiation, a period of new birth. This is what the Easter story is all about. Well, I mean, you'll hear about Easter on Easter, so, okay. And then this is also cool. The hero's journey doesn't end in the desert. There's always a time of going back. You go back from whence you came, okay? It's not just this launch and catapult into some mystery thing. No, the hero's journey always circles you back to where you come. But here's the idea. You're not the same person. You're changed. I'm beginning to see that the way that love brought me to North Idaho and the way that love is keeping me in North Idaho is a spiritual homecoming of sorts in ways I don't understand, but I'll tell you about in just a minute, okay? Here's the idea. Love will sustain and love will keep. I just want to get real personal here. Because when I, again, thinking about the hero's journey in Unity Coeur d'Alene, this is just where some of my thoughts have been. I think in this, we're in this, I love the words of that meditation song, may we rest, trust, and breathe, yeah, and know peace. The word trust has been really present for me. And I don't know, but I just want to name it. You know, some of you might be wondering if this city slicker from the west side is really going to stick around here, or is it going to go back? Now, let me be honest with you. This is going to mess with some of you science of mind folks, but stay with me. All right, have I thought about it? Yeah. There's days I wake up and it's like, what the hell am I doing here? I want to go back to the place I know. I've had those thoughts, okay? I say that because sometimes in these circles, I've actually heard people apologize to the universe. Oh, I'm sorry for that thought. I'm sorry for that thought. And I get it. Do thoughts become things? Absolutely. But I got news for you, folks. The universe already knew it before you thought it. Okay? So just relax. Just relax. I am convinced that love brought me here in its own unique, special way. And in its own unique, special way, love is keeping me here. But here's the other reality. Our bylaws say that on any Sunday, 60% of you can say, bye, James. Yeah. Okay? My mind wants to have security and stability, all right? So what I can tell you with complete integrity is that love brought me here and love is keeping me here. And what I have been experiencing myself, I offer to you. If you feel like you're out there floating in this sea of, I don't know what's going on around here, anchor yourself that love brought you here and love is going to keep you here. Some of you ask a couple things. You know, what do we stand for at Unity? Okay, listen. Our mission is simple: live love and uplift lives. That's what we stand for. We end every service singing a song: let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with what?
Me.
Yes, we stand for that. We stand for that. Some of us say, "Well, what's our vision? What's our vision?" Okay, this is a vision that I would like. We are a community of covert spiritual operatives who fiercely live love and uplift lives.
Yeah,
we're covert, okay? We don't have to have a gigantic building. We don't have to have thousands of people coming here. As cool as that would be, that some of you are going to leave here and say, Reverend James doesn't care about church growth or anything like that. No, it's about priority. It's about loving fiercely. It's about loving fiercely and doing it covertly and doing it fiercely as covert spiritual operatives, okay? A new building is not a vision. A new program is not a vision. A new minister is not a vision. A new parking lot is not a vision. A new landscape is not a vision. That's all a strategy, and that's mission. That's how, and those are important conversations to have, and I'm terrible at it. I am not a good strategist at all. That's why I'm thankful there are good people around me, starting with our board, who are very good at helping me navigate that. But what I'm committed to and what I'm excited about is being covert spiritual operatives who fiercely live love and uplift lives. And I'll just say this. The love and the friendships, I was telling some folks about this earlier this week, the love and the friendships that I'm having here are sacred, and I treasure them. And it's my wish and my prayer that the sacred love and friendship that is experienced here goes deeper than what you do or don't do for this church. Because that can get really tangled up. Spirit may call some of you away. I hope it doesn't. I want all of you to stay, okay? But I've been doing this enough to know that sometimes people are called out to start their own community or join a different one. That's okay. Unity itself never started. The Unity movement never started to be a church. It started to be a teaching center, a supplement to their own churches. Some of you are nodding your head. You know this. The invitation was come here and then go back to your Catholic church. Go back to your Presbyterian church. Go back to your Baptist church. Go back to your Methodist church. Go back to your synagogue. Go back to your ashram. You know, we, the people, have made it into this movement that it is. But let the love and let the here's the second thing I would offer you. I would invite you to make the vow that I have made yourself, and that vow is I am going to love and care for myself more than I love and care for the church. I'll say it again. I'm going to love and care for myself more than I love and care for the church. Some of you have asked me, how did I spend 28 years in evangelical Christianity and find myself here? Answer, I loved the church more than I loved me. For 28 years, I fought a visceral bodily reaction that my spirit was having to the theology and the practice of this church. And I'm not saying this to deny any of you who find a spiritual home in churches like that. Two of my children are still very involved there. And I understand that for billions of people, that is a spiritual home and a spiritual place that offers meaning and peace and all of that. So I am not saying that to disparage that. Please don't misquote me on that. But for me, it was 28 years of depression, anxiety, 3 days in a psych ward. I mean, I just didn't have the tools. I didn't have the wherewithal. But why? I was all wrapped up in the approval of the church, making people happy, running around, doing everybody's bidding, and I lost myself. I'm not going to be of any help to you, nor will you be of anybody help to anybody else if you find your identity here. Find your identity and your peace here at home in your heart, and then let what you do inform what you have, okay? If you come and see me for like, James, what am I going to do? I'm going to ask you, what's my vision in life? What do I love to do? I love seeing people wake up to their true selves and become and accomplish more than they ever dreamed or thought imaginable. That gives me chills. That gets me out of bed in the morning. Seeing people become the best version of themselves and do and become more than they ever thought imaginable. So, because I say that because sometimes some of us are really good at thinking up stuff for other people to do. And, you know, I think so-and-so should do this. I think so-and-so should do that. My question to you would be is, what lights you up? What do you want to do? And let's create a playground for that seed to grow. All right. The fruit of peace is joy. So, I want to end with a video. I really believe, and I just adore Julie. I adore Judy the fact there as well, okay? I really believe music is a significant point of intersection between us here and the spiritual community around here. And I'm just going to give you a window into the life of James Crest this week. There's a song and a video that I have literally been dancing to in my own home, in your apartment, Evelyn. I don't know, I hope I haven't been too loud. But I mean, this song just comes on, and it just, this is what I mean by spiritual homecoming. It takes me back to a part of my evangelical Christianity that I loved with all my heart. And it's weird, because it's like I go through this mental thing, wait a minute, you know, I left all of that, and yet there's something about being here in this land that's just bringing me back. And it's people just laughing and dancing and singing their hearts out, okay? Now, I got to tell you this story. In the Bible, the story of King David, if you know King David, there was a time when the Hebrew people brought home the Ark of the Covenant, and there was a great celebration. And David went out and just danced before the Lord. And sad thing, he had a wife named Michal, who, if you read the story, she thought, how unbefitting of a king to make such a fool of himself. Now look, I'm no King David, nor I'm not using that to try to manipulate you in any way, because it's not for everybody, but when I think of the fruit of peace, it's just wide open, raw joy. So we'll watch this and then be done today. I hope you like it as much as I did.
Into your presence, so we stand on our feet.
Hey, Brian, do you have the intro to it by any chance?
Come on, everybody.
Okay. You're welcome.
Let's begin with this.
I'll just offer a few thoughts before that. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I know that is hard to follow. I didn't think that through very well. But if you Google the video, it's Kurt Carr in the Sanctuary, 1980s. Steve Harvey, you know Steve Harvey. The way he sets up the song is just like classic vintage pre-Family Feud Steve Harvey. It's a lot of fun. And then the thing there does. I wanted to tell you this though. Friday night, I went and heard the Coeur d'Alene Chorale sing. Yeah. Have any of you? I don't know if were any of you there for that. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, I just love the music, but just so you know, more of James Cressido, you know, the last three songs were my favorite. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. This thing called praise, we don't create it, we just open our hearts to it and take it in, you know. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Again, use whatever words you want to use, but this idea of the heart and the soul and the spirit, I think, is what opens the heart in ways to receive love, to receive joy, and receive peace. Thank you for letting me add to my sermon. All right.
That's good. All right. I love that. Let's begin from this moment. Let's begin now. From within, feel excitement to begin now, to grow as we follow the thread of life, stirring love with the bread of life, making all things new. Christ is aglow with life, lighting every new horizon. Let's begin from this moment. Let's begin now. From within, feel excitement.